Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Humor is just wicked.
Some of my humor we just need to keep between the two of us.
Aren't you glad football season's back, man?
Yeah.
There are a lot of interesting stories out there.
I think, first of all, at 5 o'clock, if you're just getting in your car, Urban Meyer has been put on leave because an assistant coach of his allegedly beat up his wife. The assistant coach beat up his wife. That woman told Urban Meyer's wife, and the allegations are that Urban Meyer has covered this up for 3 years, and this assistant has a history of this behavior, and Urban Meyer knew of that history as well, and then he's covered this up for 3 years, and there's a lengthy report about it. I mean, Big Sexy printed up. It is like 10 pages long of information, text, history, reports, and it's all over the media right now.
There are pictures included.
Yeah, so this has been obviously brewing for a while. And the difference, you would ask, well, what's the difference between this and CU? Because the story sounds actually pretty similar.
Right.
Is that there was no reporting of this by Meyer, unlike with McIntyre, who reported it
instantly.
Immediately, yeah. So there you go. That's kind of the sports story in America of the day. It's all over the place. And
late story on all the big sports networks out there. And it's probably going to sit there for a few minutes for all those college football fans out there that are going nuts waiting for the opening of the season. Who knows what this does to the landscape of college football if Urban Meyer is no longer allowed to coach at Ohio State.
All right. Broncos today. Paxton Lynch had not only he might have had the best practice he's ever had.
He looked good.
Why did Paxton Lynch look so good today, Al?
I think he looked good because the Broncos did something that we're used to seeing as Bronco fans. We did a lot of waggle, a lot of boots, put him on the perimeter, gave him one-man reads and quick throws, and he was able to execute that. And the big play was, of course, a long pass down the sideline where he executed and got a huge completion that kind of put the cherry on the top for a good day. Paxton is a unique case study because he can't quite read all of the defense, but if you give him half a feel, he's shown that he can do some exciting things. But the problem with half a feel is, most of the time when you're going half a field, it's usually a sprint action, which means eventually the clock runs out because you get too close to the sideline or the route has matured as far as it's going to go, and therefore the play's over where you have to end up throwing it out of bounds, throwing it down, or tucking and running. So the question is, can he disseminate a defense and do all the right things in the pocket?
Bill Musgrave said this.
Yeah, he's young. He's young. I don't know. What, they have 8 plays at Memphis? He's young.
That's a funny comment.
Finish that, because
yeah. You're probably right. It might just be 1 sheet, 8 squares.
That's the most important part, because he may be right. You know, if it's 8 plays and you can sit it all on 1 sheet of paper, 8 squares, okay.
Now, Billy Moose he's trying to be funny.
Maybe he is.
I know what you're saying. But something works, then this was probably Tebow at Florida. Why make it overly complicated?
Hey, man, listen, you have a read option, right? I mean, it's the RPO stuff, right? If the linebacker goes, then you pull it. If the linebacker stays, then you give it in a run game. Okay, pass game, you fake. If he stays, then you throw it out to the flat where they have – I mean, it's just not – it's not rocket science in college football. You just got to – do the things that gets you a first down and gets you wins.
So
that's only thing that counts.
But he's been with the Broncos for 2 years.
Yeah, that's
so
on the coaching staff if he can't get it.
Are we saying then,
and Pat
if you play for a simple college offense, you are going to need at least 2 years, maybe more, to really develop an NFL brain?
Maybe. If you were saying that, you know, like the most simple offense in the world is a run and shoot. Like, that's the most simple offense in the world. Hey, he's open. He's uncovered. He's got a mismatch. These are the routes. Boom, it's there.
So let's look at some of the...
But this is a little different, though. This RPO system is a little different, but it's got run and shoot principles to it.
Then I'm going to ask you to evaluate college systems. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma ran a good offense.
Okay.
They ran a really sophisticated, good offense.
Good news then for the Browns, and Baker Mayfield's a little bit older.
Too. Yes.
So good news for them. Wyoming
ran a basic college offense, and the quarterback wasn't good.
Okay. So heads up, Bills fans. This might take some time.
It's going to take some time.
Okay. UCLA.
Pro system. That guy's ready to go.
Rosen. Arizona.
Ready to go.
USC.
Pro system, ready to go.
Right.
It's going to take maybe a half a season to get all the verbiage down, but Sam Darnold should be good.
Louisville.
Louisville is a little bit of the college system. It may take
some time.
RPO stuff.
Right.
But the thing that's exciting about watching Lamar Jackson is that his percentage of passes completed between the 8 and call it the 17-yard line in the middle of the field was better than everybody else's that was part of college football. And that's the hardest place to throw the football.
All right, I'm going to give you a tricky one. Houston, 10 years ago.
Houston, 10 years ago.
With Case Keenum.
Oh, my God. That was just wide open. That was run and shoot.
Run and shoot, and you said that's the simplest, right?
Yeah, that's the easiest one.
So
Red Raider, you know, Texas.
Follow my math here.
Go ahead.
Simplest college maybe explains why Case Keenum was looked down upon. As with
17,000 yards passing, though, homeboy.
As with his height.
17,000 yards passing.
Didn't 19,000 yards passing. Didn't break out in the NFL and needed a lot of time to mature.
Didn't get drafted.
Keep following me here. Now in his, what year is Case Keenum?
I'm thinking year eight.
Eight?
Eight or nine.
The guy has been given the keys to the Lamborghini, and it looked great so far
this
in training
camp. This is the second time, though. Second time he's been given the keys.
So let me ask you this. Is it possible?
Third time.
Hold on. Is it possible that Paxton Lynch actually could develop after maybe 4 or 5 years?
If we
saw what we saw today,
yes.
We understand where he came from. Billy Musgrave is speculating what they have 8 plays. We saw Case Keenum come from a simple offense, take his time. I mean, I know we've all been writing off Paxton Lynch, but just putting it all together, painting by numbers here, is there a possibility that Paxton Lynch could actually develop? By the way,
it'd be an unusual situation.
What about the offense for Ole Miss? And before Ole Miss, Eastern Mississippi Community College. What are those systems like?
I don't know about those. I know about Paxton. I saw him in college.
Because that's where Chad Kelly came from.
I didn't break him down. I never broke him down
gotcha.
While he was in college.
But we're just talking about where you come from and where you are now. You know, Billy Musgrave is you know, having a laugh, and it's a funny line. What, they have like 8 plays in Memphis? But that might
they
be
They may have had 8 plays at Oregon.
They may have had 8 plays at Oregon. Mariota. What they have at Florida State?
Oh, Florida State was a full pro offense.
What was Auburn with Cam Newton?
RPO. 8 plays.
So
the
maybe.
But the guy with the football, really special.
So first of all, when we talk about Broncos quarterback evaluation, listen, and I'll go with you on Josh Allen. I just think the talent is there, but you may be right. He may need time. When you see Baker Mayfield, who's older, and they run a more complicated style in Oklahoma, that's something. when you see USC and UCLA.
And considering that Baker Mayfield didn't have a true number one receiver and he used his tight end.
It gets more impressive than ever.
The tight end was their number one receiver at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and if you want to just break down the fact that Baker Mayfield on two different teams went from a walk-on to the starter twice and played at the highest level, I understand what you laugh at Cleveland. I understand that. But there's a lot of reasons.
If he was 6'3", we wouldn't have laughed.
That's right. There's a lot of reasons to believe in Baker Mayfield.
By the way, I have to say this because it's on my mind, and I want to talk about it real quick. Hard Knocks is...
Yes, August 7th. Can't wait.
...is filming the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
The Cleveland Brown quarterbacks have done something that was pretty cool.
Keep going.
They have put in an RV that Hard Knocks or nobody else can come in and film them.
Just for the quarterbacks.
Just for the quarterbacks.
Offensive linemen and offensive players are welcome.
Oh, they are?
Oh, they are welcome.
Oh, I thought it was just for the quarterbacks.
Invitation only, though.
Invitation only.
They can't walk in. Quarterbacks are the only ones allowed to walk in.
Who created this?
So this was Tyrod Taylor, right?
That was Tyrod Taylor's idea? No? Who?
Drew Stanton.
He said it was back
in Detroit with Matt Stafford back in the day.
What was it, because they had Hard Knocks there, too?
I'm not sure if it was. He said that it was just kind of not so much an oasis, but like a room for everybody just to kind of get away from
everything.
I heard
it was like a castle. Or is it just an RV?
It's an RV.
Right now, because they just had the Mid-Ohio Indy race there just in Southern Ohio.
So where is this RV located?
In the parking lot.
It's in the parking lot, yeah.
I think that's hysterical.
They had a basic one right now, and they're going to try and upgrade it because the more RVs that come in from rentals, they'll get a more posh one.
They're taken right away from Hard Knocks. I mean, you're not going to go in, you know.
Well, I think that's – what's your point there? I think it's a hysterical idea. It's fun.
I think it is.
It's cool.
I think it kind of highlights that players, and especially not the quarterbacks, want to be talked about in Hard Knocks.
You think this is just staged? Like it wouldn't happen if Hard Knocks wasn't there?
Probably not. If Hard Knocks isn't there, they probably don't need an RV. Because one thing that we did see last year when we saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is like the quarterback shaming of Jameis Winston. You know, like I saw Dirk Cotter just dog cussing the franchise quarterback, and I just thought to myself, this kid is saying yes sir, no sir, and this guy who is now the head coach and also the quarterback's coach is I didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't want to see the quarterbacks subjected to humiliation or hard coaching on film again. And I hope this takes away some of that, because I mean, what is this? When we saw Dirk Cotter quarterback shaming Jameis Winston, how different is that from your Last Chance You show?
Not much different, right?
Yeah. You didn't like it then. Did you like it when you saw it when Jameis Winston was receiving that kind of coaching?
No.
Right. I don't know when it's okay. Don't know when it's okay to be like that as a coach.
But does it matter if we're talking about kids that are still in college compared to paid professionals?
When is it okay?
Well, let me ask
you
this.
When is it okay to degrade somebody?
So I'm watching, if you bring up Last Chance U, the guy I'm watching at Last Chance U, Buddy whatever his name is. Buddy something. He's won three national championships in 4 years. Buddy Stevens. This other guy, this year from Independence, who is foul-mouthed as you can get, and boy, is he an egomaniac. He led them to an 8-2 record. They won their conference title for the first time in 40 years and came in number 4 overall in community college football. And won the Coach of the Year, by the way, in his conference, the Jayhawk Conference in Kansas. So, on one hand, no, I don't like it. But on the other hand, it worked.
My coaches didn't coach me like that.
You weren't at the community college level.
No, my coaches didn't coach me like that. I'm embarrassed when I'm seeing coaches talk to them. I don't know if I would allow that. I don't think I would have allowed a coach to talk to me like that.
Do you want to win? I mean, listen, I don't think you could have behavior like that and lose. But if you have behavior like that and you're winning,
no, man, I just don't believe that there's
winning's not worth it,
you know,
for you.
No, let me tell you something, man. We had a great coach here with the Denver Broncos by the name of George Dyer. Now, Coach Dyer coached the defensive line here, but he also had a strong history of coaching with the Rams and the Seahawks. And he had this thing on Sunday on Saturday morning after we had our walkthrough kind of practice. He got all the families together, and we took all of our families over, and we got a chance to know his family and the other families from the defensive line all co-mingled together. Okay, how can you do that if this coach is throwing F-bombs at you and middle fingering you all the time? How is that okay, and why would you bring your family around that guy?
I don't know.
But that's the right way to coach. That's the right way to inspire. That's the right way to show a guy,
you know,
how to lead a family.
You know, it's interesting. Somebody, a Zoakley show, was asking me, have I noticed any differences with Vance Joseph? And I said, yeah. He's more vocal, for sure. And he has more of a presence just out on the field, period. Last year, it was pretty obvious. He literally wasn't sure where to go.
Well, he let the guys coach, though, last year. Remember now. Right. Coordinator was coordinating, the defensive coordinator was coordinator, and the special teams coordinator was coordinated. And you know what? The head coach was overseeing it. This year, he's coaching all of that.
He literally didn't want to step on any toes.
Exact. Good call. Good call.
This year, he doesn't care. So
it's
his
team.
He'll float from special teams to the defense.
He'll talk
to the
about
offense,
effort and everything else.
And it's a lot of rah-rah sort of stuff. But this year, in my mind, I'm not hearing Bill Kolar's voice or Reggie Herring's voice. If I'm hearing any voice out there the loudest.
I said that to Coach Kolar, by the way.
Yeah, he needs to calm down.
No, I told him. I said, man, you know, what's great is that, you know, I don't hear your voice this year. He said, my guys are out there busting their butt, so I don't have to.
Good enough. Because the loudest voice on the field right now is Vance Joseph. But that's not the way it was last year.
Right.
Boy, you know, you tell me a story like that. How many stories have we heard in this training camp about how bad things were last year?
I know.
Oh, my Lord.
I know.
Goodness gracious.
But I think that was the clicks.
And you know what they did in the locker room, right?
They moved the locker room around, and now everybody is mixed in, and there's no linebacker row or D-line row or offensive line row or receivers. Guys are just
intermingled. Here's the true story of why this thing went south quickly last year. All the players are grouped. Cornerbacks are here. Linebackers are here. Mm-hmm. Offensive linemen. That's just the way the locker room is, okay? They let go of Wade Phillips, who is loved by the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Wade was one of their homeboys. Yep. No doubt about it.
Then, got some really big rings.
Really big rings. They liked Joe Woods, but they loved Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
They cut T.J. Ward.
Yeah. Now In training camp.
And they did it in a way.
The last cut.
They did it in a way that
was it
wasn't
the last cut?
No. He was like kind of middle way through camp.
Okay.
It was done in a way that they didn't like how it was done.
Right.
Okay.
You mean the defense.
The defense. And specifically Aqib Talib. When I say all of this, I'm really talking about Aqib Talib.
Hold on, let me finish real quick. Go ahead.
So now you have two major things that Aqib Talib does not like.
You took my coordinator.
Yeah, who I love.
And my dog.
I mean, you and Aqib is the loudest voice in that locker room, and now he and all the other cornerbacks and defensive players are in a corner way away from everybody else, but they're there every single day. And you,
that's a good call.
You lost your defense. Vance Joseph lost his defense right there. Okay, now we come to the offense. Not only have you lost your defense, which you have lost your defense in training camp, you don't have an offense. And you're letting Mike McCoy run the show, and you haven't picked a quarterback. So you have a defense, rightfully so, who's pissed at you, talking about how crappy you are, which they're right about. And guess who agrees with you? Emmanuel Sanders, who's another big voice out there. And he's right, too. Toxic from the beginning. Now, what are you supposed to do? Well, first of all, you should have tried harder to keep Wade Phillips. Okay, you let him go. Now, this is really tough.
By the way, he's a Lord of Fortnite.
I know. I saw the T-shirt. It's hysterical. You don't think the guys love that? You don't think NFL players love playing Fortnite just like your 14-year-old? They love it. And the fact that he's wearing Fortnite shirts is it's not a big deal to us in our 40s, but Wade's in his 60s, and he gets it. He connects better with players than me and you would connect with those players. And he's much older than us. Me, at least.
All right.
What you had was so bad.
Six.
And Vance, and you got to look at things that have changed to see how bad things were. So hopefully this makes sense. Is that a Fortnite call?
No, that's Drake, man. That's a little Drizzy.
Oh, well, I understand six. Now, here's what's tricky about T.J. Ward. Let me throw this at you.
Okay, go ahead.
When is it, Al, worth keeping a guy for the intangibles when they are stronger than his talent?
Oh, I don't think that was the case. No, no,
well,
no.
Well, look at the year T.J. last year.
Oh, not T.J. I thought you were talking about Aqib.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Aqib's at a high level.
Okay.
T.J. Ward's intangibles were higher than his talent last year. He was cut for football reasons. He wasn't cut for financial reasons. He was
They drafted Justin Simmons.
That's right. He was T.J. Ward, football-wise, wasn't good enough football-wise to play for the Broncos last year. However, his intent...
I don't know about that. That's your statement. That's not my statement. I don't know about that.
I think what happened in Tampa with him would prove me out to be correct.
No. But Tampa's defense and what we were asking him to do was totally different. Remember now, Aqib Talib
was it a good football?
Nickel linebacker.
I'll slow down.
An obvious pass
was
situation.
It a good football move by John Elway to cut? Football move by John Elway
not
to
when
cut
he
T.J.
did
Ward.
It. Not when he did it.
So you would have...
If I was going to cut T.J. Ward, I would have got rid of T.J. Ward before the NFL draft.
So Elway screwed up.
Yeah, absolutely.
For football reasons.
But just because
I think he screwed
just
up
because
for
of the team
intangibles.
The team chemistry was disrupted in training camp.
Every now and then, there's just a guy who you got to keep. Because even if his talent isn't what you perceive as good enough, there's some... Now, this does not happen very often. I'll give you a couple guys. T.J. Ward was one of them. Should have kept him no matter what.
Or if you release him, do it in a timely fashion so he can go get a job somewhere else.
Okay, fine, because everybody can get over it and move on by the time training camp starts.
This is our new guy.
So we're on the same page.
Let's get him in here.
The cutting of T.J. Ward was
The timing of it.
Fine.
Okay.
Disaster. Shouldn't have done it. Should have kept him on the team and just played it out and see how it went.
Yeah, after he got the training
camp. I'll give you another guy. DeMarcus Ware. He wasn't real. He was having problems, health problems. Keep him on the team. We should have begged Peyton Manning to play one more year, his fifth year. Should have begged him to do it. With Gary Kubiak. Begged him.
Well, you going to let him run his offense?
Yes. We're going to let him do whatever he wants. The Colts should have kept Peyton Manning and drafted
Gary
Andrew
Kubiak
Luck.
Was not going to let Peyton Manning throw the ball 45, 50 times a game.
It doesn't matter, though. Because the ship is sunk.
Can't win a Super Bowl like that.
Can't win the Super Bowl with Trevor Siemian.
He ain't lying.
I ain't hit that one in a long time.
It's a drive on the fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
I don't believe that. I believe that you would be that kind of guy.
No, I would not. Well, I don't know. Maybe I would. Who knows?
Looking around the house.
It's about to happen, D-Mac.
What's that?
It's about to happen.
Steve Young, left-handed quarterback.
Yeah, but he does not play in the league right now.
Dang, you got me on that one.
Not many left-handed quarterbacks have had a good run in the NFL. Steve Young may be the most successful left-handed quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Ooh, I got to think about that one for a second.
Although Boomer Esiason was NFL MVP one year, there are just a few players that have been NFL MVP that are not Hall of Famers.
What was like Bart Starr or was Danny White a lefty?
No.
He kicked lefty, though, didn't he?
Maybe. Punt it. Did he punt lefty?
By the way, on a, what do you think of Marquette King?
The King is here. Hey, man. That
what do you think of Marquette
made
King?
Made the swag, man.
His swag level is.
The King is here.
You know, the swag is 100,
is something
man.
Something else.
The swag is 100 all
it's,
the time.
It's fun.
I think it is, too, man. You know, the guy is very competitive,
I
by
saw
the way.
Him today. It wasn't our station. It was another station. I saw him almost big time a radio request today.
Oh, really?
And I just had to laugh. It's not like people are breaking down the door to interview the punter.
Oh, okay.
And the way he was handling it, it was like, hey, man, dude, you are not.
Is he Instagram star? Isn't he an Instagram star?
I'm just laughing whenever I see a punter.
How many likes
do
you have on
Dude, he came
Instagram?
this close to big timing a interview like that. Come on. You spend 90% of the practice doing nothing.
More than 90%. Wow, you're being kind. You're saying 10% of the practice is spent on the punter.
Good point. You spend 99.8% of 90, the practice.
Like 95% of practice is
nothing.
Not about you.
Right. And then the practice is finally over, and you've hung around in a two-hour practice, which is 120 minutes. You've done nothing for 117 and a half minutes.
I won't be doing
And
I'll be
somebody,
doing sit-ups, man. I think he's been doing sit-ups
the dude's
been doing curls. Oh. He's got his profile together.
His beach bod is in high gear.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, when you participate in 2.5% of a practice, you shouldn't be big-timing anybody.
No.
I just have never seen. I've really never
but
seen
your
it.
Your job today in the coffin corner, doing good. You know, pinning people inside the 10-yard line.
His talent is significant.
Oh yeah, I mean it's clear that you know. And then you know I'm watching him and McManus work on field goals, and I'm like, man, McManus was on. I'm like, this is
McManus has swag too.
Yeah, in a
different sort of way.
Yeah, I'm like, man, this is not a bad combination here. I'm like, man, this is all right then.
I have yet to see everywhere. I have yet to see Casey Kreider make a bad snap ever.
Right.
We're solid.
We're good everywhere.
But cornerback depth, we need to go get
DRC for that. We need to go get DRC. But every day until it happens, I'm going to talk about it. This TO situation is ugly. It is ugly. And the way that is being portrayed right now is like T.O. is the worst guy in the world. Is he? Is he the worst guy in the world for not going to the Hall of Fame?
Who?
T.O.
No, he's not the worst guy in the world. Come on. Worst guy in the world? No.
I mean, how is he viewed by... Is he just a dissident? I mean, how do you look at T.O. as a non-conforming member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Consistent with his character. He's a quirky dude.
Quirky.
And he's not a bad guy.
Not a bad guy. By the way, not a bad guy at all. Quirky. Yeah.
Quirky.
Yes.
It's just a quirky guy.
He was the beginning of this me movement at the wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think he started the me movement. I mean, in Jerry Rice's last game in Candlestick, T.O. got 20 catches. Now, that's not even talked about much. I mean, that was the way you send out Jerry Rice. Throw the ball to T.O. and let him have 20 balls. You know, that's how talented this guy was at the end of, you know, maybe the most talented wide receiver in the history of the NFL in Jerry Rice. But as we get closer to this Hall of Fame weekend, I'm going to talk about this every day. Because I think it's going to be, if nothing else, it's going to be bizarre. Now, I'm not telling you I'm going to watch the entire Hall of Fame. PutPatIn.com. That's PutPatIn.com. So that Pat Bowlen is enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But until the Hall of Fame has actually gone through their entire ceremony. I want to see how they present Terrell Owens. And if it's inappropriate, shame on the NFL. Because he's not there, you're not going to show his highlights, D-Mac? Are you not going to show his great catch in the playoffs? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you just going to ignore the fact that he was a great player in this league and was part of this Hall of Fame class? What are you going to do, Pro Football Hall of Fame?
You know, it's going to come and go, though, Al, and nobody's going to really pay attention, and nobody's going to really care.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope he has the best concert. You know what? I'm upset with it because you know what? The Hall of Fame has not been kind to the Denver Broncos. The Hall of Fame has been less than kind to the Denver Broncos. For as many great players as we've had, and the shrug of the shoulder and nonchalant vote here and there to get a guy in, you know what? It's just not good enough. So yeah, I like this revolt. I like the fact that T.O. is saying that your process is skewed, it's flawed, it's not right.
You realize he may be in history the only person who's living gets enshrined to go.
Listen now.
He's not the only guy. Historic.
You know what? There was another guy who said that he wouldn't go if he was elected to the Hall of Fame. That was Harry Carson. Now he ended up going.
He went.
But I mean, come on, man. What else you got to do? I mean, you can't make another catch. You can't make another touchdown. The numbers are the numbers.
Listen, I respect
T.O.
The
history is the history.
And I support T.O., but I think he's making a mistake.
Put PatIn.com, by the way. Oh. Put PatIn.com.
Do you think T.O.'s making a mistake?
No.
I do.
I think the process is jacked up.
I think the process is jacked up and flawed, but I think he's making a mistake.
You know, I mean, if you want the greatest players to be in your hall, then put them in quickly. And quit making these excuses about, hey, there's too many running backs, or hey, you know, this is not the year for a wide receiver. Why can't Steve Atwater or Dennis Smith or Billy Thompson, our great safeties, be in the Hall of Fame? Why does a guy who played a great deal of great football in Brian Dawkins go in before Steve Atwater? Somebody's got to tell me that. Somebody's got to answer that. How come Brian Dawkins, a great player, goes in before Steve Atwater? Because he played on the East Coast.
This is The Drive on the Fan.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Great day at camp today. Anything interesting, D-Mac?
Not really. Paxton Lynch had a great day. You know, he's young.
I don't know what they have. 8 plays at Memphis. He's young.
Line of the day. What they have. 8 plays at Memphis. Today, you know, tomorrow they're off. If you were out of practice today, though, you saw the best practice of the entire training camp.
Oh, he grinded them out, too. VJ and his staff got everything he needed to let them know you are officially in the first week of football. Now, we don't have traditional two-a-days like we remember, but they got it in today.
By the way, VJ was not thrilled with how practice went today. You know,
again, it's practice, and sometimes you guys just watch it and it all looks good, but it's not. You know, I mean, we're not there yet. You know, and everyone right now in the league's feeling good. That's what camp's about. You know, I mean, this is my, I don't know, 15th camp, and every camp I went to, it was a good camp. You know, so how do you know how good you are until you play?
Well, you're
my
right.
My camps weren't always good. I wasn't optimistic either. And my lease was always done on December 31st.
You're a two, buddy.
I'm just being honest.
All right, let me ask. Okay. How did you know you were having a bad camp?
Oh, I just knew. Just like.
How?
Coordinators, man. When coordinators don't know how to get guys in the best position. You know, I just remember, like, you know, we'd sit on the sideline as a defense. We had 9 first-rouners on defense in Cincinnati. We had a stacked, loaded defense. We finished middle of the pack, but when you lose on offense, you know, your defense can't be really good. And we sit on offense, and I mean, we sit on the sideline. Offense would have 3rd down and 8 and consistently would throw a 3-yard route. and expect the receiver to make a move and get 8 yards. Instead of throwing to the sticks, they throw a 3-yard route and have the receiver try to get there. And I was like, man, you got to be kidding me. Every team we playing against, you know, not only are they throwing for the sticks, you know, they're going for touchdowns every now and then periodically. And it was just, you just know, man. You just know when you don't have good coaches. You just know as a player. I mean, there's nothing they can do to try to, you know, the players know. Now, the players always know. And when the coaches aren't up to snuff, the players know. And you know what? For all of you guys out there listening to this show right now, you know when you've had a bad coach, and everybody on the team knew it too.
Got another observation for you.
Go ahead.
This might be, you may be right. Or here's a prediction, and I don't know how you might see how you feel about it. People listening. Shane Ray will have a more significant impact on this team this year than Bradley Chubb.
No doubt about that. No question about that.
Bradley Chubb's year will be okay.
There is one star in this draft. One, like, bona fide star who, from day one, has looked like a bona fide star. Courtland Sutton.
He is going to be the most impactful draft pick by far.
Just letting you know that I know it's been Chubb. Just letting you know, man. Chubb does not, and I said it before the draft, and I said it was just going to take some time, and he has to learn some different techniques. You know, I heard all these guys, you know, leading up to the to training camp on this station talking about 10 sacks, and I said, don't do that, man.
Maybe 5 or 6.
Maybe. Maybe he has 3 or 4, maybe 5. 10 sacks, man?
Nah.
He's not Von Miller.
Shane Ray might have 10 sacks. Shane Ray may have 15 sacks.
Man, Shane Ray looks. Listen, there are two guys that you can trade and get great value for them right now before the start of the season. Shane Ray, and you can trade Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, I certainly wouldn't trade Sanders, but now I wouldn't trade Shane Ray because I think he's going to be too highly impactful this year. I think he's going to make a difference. And this is nothing negative against Bradley Chubb, and I'm not trying to put him down whatsoever.
No, he's just a rookie.
Just watching practice.
Who's his coach, by the way? Go ahead, finish your statement.
I don't know who his coach is.
I don't either.
Nobody knows who his coach is. He doesn't have a coach. He has guys who are trying to fill in, defensive assistants, that sort of thing, but there's no outside linebackers coach. It's a problem.
Yeah, 3 first-rounders, and there's an outside linebackers coach.
We thought it was DeMarcus Ware going to be there?
Is DeMarcus Ware going to be here next week?
By the way, so today I'm standing there next to Chad Brown, who was going to do a coaching internship. Things got a little messy.
Where is he?
He's here. It got messed up. I don't even want to say the team he was going to go to.
Where is he going to do the internship?
Chad thought he was going to go to a team. It got screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he is available now where he didn't think he was going to be available. He's standing on the sidelines. If I'm the Denver Broncos, without a doubt,
I'm calling Chad Brown
and getting him out on the practice field immediately. Immediately. It's a no-brainer. DeMarcus Ware is working with the Cowboys. Whatever you had set up with Ware, forget about it. Chad Brown
is... Is he really?
Yes, he is.
You're telling me that he's actually working?
Yes. No, like on a contract basis, sort of like, you know...
So he can't come back here?
He could because he's not full-time there.
So what? Either you're there or you're here.
Exactly. It's a quirky situation. Chad was supposed to be with another team. He's not. You should immediately get Chad in the mix and get him working with the outside linebackers.
So what, next week we're going to have DeMarcus Ware here for like a week or something?
I mean, who knows? They never could really figure this out.
This is amateur hour.
Chad has so much experience. He's got the availability. He's here already. He's got the time booked off. It just didn't work out for some quirky reasons. This is a no-brainer. He's got a relationship with VJ. They got the day off. Call Chad Brown. And you know what? Can I say something, too? Can I just keep it real? The reason Lauren Landau was hired as the strength and conditioning coach was that there were people in the media and people behind the scenes that got VJ's attention to Lauren Landau. VJ was not aware of Lauren Landau. It was other people in the media in other ways behind the scenes that brought Lauren Landau to VJ's attention. Have you heard how much praise Lauren Landau's getting these days?
Yeah.
Do you realize we are 5 days through training camp and we haven't had really any significant injuries at all? It's something. Talk to the players about how much they love Lauren Landau. I'm telling you, Broncos, if you're listening, this is a no-brainer for the sake of everybody. There's no harm. There's no issue. Go talk to Chad Brown tonight and get him out there. And if it's not Chad, it should be somebody else because they don't have anybody, Alfred. Right? What are you doing? I mean, what is anybody
doing? Three first-rounders?
Right.
At outside linebacker?
And you don't have a specific coach, and you have Jeep Christ, who's the tight ends coach, watching Fumagalli, Hyerman, you know, four guys.
I see my man Marcus Robinson out there.
Coaching
the safeties.
Safe, right. All sorts of experience out there.
I'm like,
three first-round draft picks, and you don't have somebody who's been in that position, and you've got Chad, who is ready for that.
15 years, Pro Alfred, Bowls, all pros.
Alfred, you could be out there.
I have to shine up my Buckus Award.
And on that note.
I do love coaching now, man. I mean, I get a taste.
Hey, hashtag out there, put Pat in. Hashtag call Chad Brown.
Hashtag put Pat in, man. Don't forget, man. For my partner D-Mac, who's had an outstanding training camp so far. For Big Sexy, who of course brings it all together every day.
Hell
and
yeah.
Kyle Berry for keeping us entertained every single day. I'm Big Al saying, get it in tonight. Put Pat in, and we'll see you tomorrow at 3 on the drive.